It's good to see you. Sorry it's late. And just whilst we wait for one or two others to join us, very many happy returns for those of you in the church family whose birthday it is today. You know who you are. Some will be less embarrassed than others, so I'll save names. But many happy returns, and in a very strange birthday, glorious sunshine, and you can only enjoy a little bit of it. But yeah, this will be a birthday to remember after all. So I hope you can enjoy some self-isolating lockdown fun all the same. I'm going to pray, and then we'll get things underway. Let's just pray as we start. Loving Father, we do thank you that even with glitches, we have the technology to make this possible for us to stay connected as a church family and to welcome others in too. And we pray now that as we just spend some time listening to your word and praying to you, we would have the assurance of you being with us. We pray very much that as we look at this famous Psalm 23, words that we might know well, we pray that we would know you well by the end of it, know you better. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, welcome once again, and welcome back, Christchurch. Thank you for being patient if you've been sat there for 40 minutes or so, trying to wait as we sorted out a few problems. Looks like it's working now, I think. If not, I'm talking to myself. Particularly welcome if you're with us for the first time. It's good to have you. We have managed 2 weeks in a row of starting at just about 10:30, so I'm terribly sorry if this has had you questioning our abilities. You're right to question them. We're absolute rookies at this, but it's really good to have you with us. Ordinarily, I'd tell you, everything you need's on the service sheet, but you haven't got one of those. I'd say where you'd find the loos, but hopefully you know where those are. And we just really want to gather as a church in this way, in these very strange times, to listen to the Lord's voice, to pray to him, and to just keep each other encouraged by what we know to be certain through uncertain times. And that is the word of the Lord and all that he says to us. That's what we're going to do. That's what we do Sunday by Sunday. So now is the time to grab a Bible. You've had plenty of time to grab one, but you might well have been distracted. We're going to look at Psalm 13 together. Psalm 13. Do use the contents page, as I always say. If you're new to thumbing your way through a Bible, if it's on a smartphone, just Google it. And I said Psalm 13, I meant Psalm 23. Oh no, Psalm 23. Just Google Psalm 23 if you haven't got a Bible, and the words will be there. They'll pop up on your screen as if by magic. We're going to look at it as I read it and then speak a little about it. So Psalm 23. A psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. They're very famous words, aren't they? Very famous. Even if we're not a regular churchgoer or Bible-believing Christian, it's very likely we know some or all of those words, if not the famous hymn. There are other words I was thinking of that are famous. Perhaps you know the words first made famous by Benjamin Franklin, the founding father. And he said, "In this world, nothing can be said to be certain except death and taxes. Nothing certain save death and taxes." He's right, isn't he? These are uncertain times. But even in a year like this, many of us will still have to file a tax return. And my goodness, death, well, that is everywhere, isn't it? We turn on the news at 10 and we watch the death toll rise. And even in a culture like ours that tries to forget about death, don't we? We try and not talk about it. We try to sanitize it. We try to pretend it won't happen. And yet it is certain. And it holds a fear over us, and perhaps now more than ever before. And yet in Psalm 23, we've another famous phrase, if I can put it like that. He writes, even though I walk through the darkest valley, or perhaps you've heard it translated, the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. See, for David, as he writes this psalm, knowing the Lord changes how he feels about the certainty of death. He opens, doesn't he? Look at verse 1. He opens with such a confident voice. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. As a boy, David was a shepherd. You might know his biography. Now he's writing as king. And yet here he says, I'm simply a sheep who knows the Lord is my shepherd. And he provides for everything David needs. Did you notice, as I read, over and over, he repeats all that the Lord does for him. Verse 2, he says, he makes me lie down. He leads me beside. Verse 3, he refreshes me. He guides me. And it's not simply for David's sake, but verse 3, for his name's sake that he does this. See, the Lord has always promised to lovingly lead and protect and provide for and shepherd his people. And he will not be proved a liar. This is for his name's sake. David just receives all the blessings of him doing what he does. And we read about green pastures, don't we, and quiet waters. And in many ways, they're to a penny, aren't they, in a green and pleasant land like ours. But remember, this is David, and remember where he's writing from. The Middle East. Those things are rarely found. And so his point seems to be that despite his surroundings, think desert at best, David knows that to be led by the Lord is to actually ultimately and certainly spiritually to lack nothing. And so he changes scene from outdoor meadows to an indoor banquet hall. And verse 5, this prepared table, there's a royal anointing, an overflowing cup. And it's there that it happens in the presence of his enemies. And so it's clear that this isn't life in some future fantasy. This is how David describes present reality for those who are shepherded by this Lord. It is to lack nothing now and nor in the future. One of the perhaps rare highlights of the situation we find ourselves in are all the little videos and memes that are going around your emails and your WhatsApps and your social media. I'm sure you've seen lots of them. I really like one of them, which was just simply a camera zooming in or panning in on a pint of beer on a pub table. And as the music starts, you recognize the familiar notes as Sinead O'Connor's tune comes on, singing, it's been 7 hours and 15 days. Of course, lamenting the pub's closing. It's one thing, isn't it, to lack a pint at the pub with your mates. But of course, now we are lacking far, far more important things too. Socially, we lack one another. Financially, lots of us lack certainty over whether we have a job to go back to. Work, family, sport, it's all lacking. Many, of course, lack more significant things still, food. Hospitals, we're told, lacking protective equipment, lacking beds, lacking ventilators. We still lack a vaccine. And yet Psalm 23 says that to know the Lord as shepherd is to somehow lack nothing at all. And that is because we never lack him. He is the shepherd who constantly leads, guides, refreshes, provides for his name's sake. It might well be this morning you're a Christian, and like me, you need reminding of this. You see, we profess to know the same Lord as personally as David does. And our situation, our circumstances are lacking, and yet we are assured we lack nothing, not really. And let's face it, we know, don't we, with more certainty than David, how devoted the Lord as shepherd really is. The lengths he'll go to provide and lead and guide and refresh. Jesus said of himself in John chapter 10, I'm the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. Is he to be led by the Lord? To speak of him in this way is to be led by one who gives everything, even himself, that we would ultimately lack nothing. Except, it seems, one thing, and that is a lack of fear in the face of certain death. Just look with me at verse 4. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Verse 6, surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, as another famous saying, famous phrase puts it, it's not what you know, but who you know that matters. And knowing the Lord, like David knows the Lord, means even death's darkest valley holds no fear. And it's all because, as David says, you, the Lord, you're with me. He speaks, doesn't he, of the tools that offer him such comfort. There's a rod that drives away animals that would threaten sheep, the staff that drags back prone to wandering sheep. And above all, there's this comfort in death because somehow the Lord as shepherd is also able to assure David he will dwell in the house, be with the Lord forever. You see, David doesn't lack fear because he's stoic in the face of death. No, David lacks fear because he walks with a shepherd who's stronger than death. Psalm 23 is famous. I'm sure many of you know it. Similarly, many of you might know the poem Invictus. It's often been used in all sorts of films and books. Let me just read some of Henley's famous words. Beyond this place of wrath and tears looms but the horror of the shade, and yet the menace of the years finds and shall find me unafraid. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll, I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. It is very rousing, isn't it? But it is not real, is it? See, try as we might, and my goodness, doesn't coronavirus make us see? The shade does bring horror. We are found afraid. It's a symptom and a result of the pandemic we're in. And yet David here speaks of being unafraid, not because he's stoic, not because he has a stiff upper lip, but because he walks with one who's stronger. He speaks of his life, if you will. This shepherd is a better master. This Lord is a better captain. And so the Lord is my shepherd, he sings in this psalm, because he'll even lead me through death's valley, and I know I will dwell with him forever. You see, friends, we might fear both death and taxes, but it's not what we know, but who we know that matters. And Christians, we know the one who 1,000 years after these words, that first Easter week, walked through the darkest valley, not with us, but for us. Many of you will know it's Palm Sunday today. And the palm, of course, symbolizing, reminding what happened as Jesus entered Jerusalem, hailed as king with those palm branches, and yet crucified as a criminal on the cross. So we make our palm crosses. You see, Jesus went through the hell of God not being with him in the darkest valley, punished for my sin and yours, that we would only ever know him, and ultimately lack nothing. And so things feel very uncertain. And things that are certain remain fearful. But remember that to know the Lord Jesus is to know the Lord who leads and refreshes and guides even through the valley of death. His name depends on it. He won't be proved a liar. Well, as I close, as usual, there's a couple of questions to think about. I've actually put them in the description underneath the video. It'll be there, hopefully, after this. Do perhaps discuss them in your Zoom coffee chats, discuss them midweek. Get in touch through the website if you'd like to chat about them a bit more. But just a question, if I may, as we close. Perhaps you're someone who's joined us who wouldn't say you know the Lord, not as personally as this, not in the way David describes. And so just a question really for you. Do you still fear the darkest valley? And if you do, who is your shepherd? Do you need a better one? Do you need to take the hand of the one who's walked through it before you, that you might dwell with him forever? We're going to think about him a lot more this Easter week. Technology permitting, we'll be back on a live stream on Good Friday at 12 noon and at 8 p.m. And then again, Lord willing, next Sunday at 10:30 in the morning, as we think very, very much about all that Jesus has done on his cross, now risen and ascended, to assure us he is our shepherd. With him there doing that, we lack nothing. And we know we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, we're just going to pray together now. I'm going to pray a little bit in response to what we've heard, and then for just some various things around the world and indeed within our church family. It's been an astonishing week of great joys and great sorrows for us here at Christ Church. And so let me just pray. And if you'd like to pray with me, by all means do join in, and we'll close with the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray. Loving Father, we thank you very much that we can know you because of the Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd. We thank and praise you that we can speak of all that he's done for us, speak so personally of you knowing us and us knowing you. You are our shepherd. We lack nothing. And as we see through this psalm how much you give, all that you do, all that you restore us in, We know as we look at the cross that you would go to any and every length to provide all that we need, dying in our place and rising again. We thank and praise you that through the Lord Jesus Christ, we lack nothing. And we know above all else, we will dwell with you forever. Lord, we pray for our wider world. Lord, Brexit seems old news, and Corona is, of course, on every web page, every newscast. And so we pray very much for the global leaders and medical professionals and the scientists working. We pray cooperatively and tirelessly to get the medical care and wisdom, the resources, the vaccines, everything that's needed to save as many lives as possible. We cry out for your mercy. We would long for Corona to stop. We pray, Lord, that through this time of uncertainty and fear, many more would know what is certain. And instead of fearing a virus, would it have a right fear of you, that would love that deeply and that profoundly as to deal with the greater virus of sin. We pray that in a world that is clearly so broken, not just by a virus, we see on the news the ongoing hurt of the world, exploitation, murder, political uprisings. We cry out with the psalmist of last week, how long? And we echo with the psalmist of last week that we will trust in your unfailing love, and we pray for more of your patience, more confidence and trust in you as we see the world struggle on so often without you, but you is very much in charge. Father, we pray again, thinking of the world, for mission partners Matt and Helen Pope in Chile. We thank you for recent news of ongoing successes in language learning. They're settling in. We thank you for meeting their practical needs. The driving licenses coming through just in time as public transport is made difficult. We thank you so much for family being able to visit before lockdown. We thank you for the children especially making friends. We even thank you that Corona has meant that violent political rallies had to stop. But we pray that that wouldn't put a stop to the political justice that is needed there. We pray you'd help Matt and Helen to continue to settle in, and all the family, as they get to know their church family, get to know other pastors whom they're serving, as they speak and live for you there in Chile. Finally, Father, we turn to our church family. It has been, as I've said, quite a week, full of praise, full of tears, and we commit Christchurch Crouch End to you. We thank you very much for all those who are still able to connect with one another through the phone, through FaceTime and Skype and through the technology. We thank you for those who are running around each week to make sure those less tech savvy are still in the loop. Thank you for CD recordings and friendship shown in these ways. We thank you for each other. We thank you very much for joy, as we said, for birthdays celebrated last week and today. I pray it be another year for those to love and serve you and give you thanks and praise to know you better. We pray for all those feeling the pressure of the time we're in. We pray for busy families where struggles in marriages and family life are being perhaps highlighted and exposed through the strange time we're in. Pray you keep them close. Pray keep them repentant, slow to anger, quick to forgive. At the other end, Lord, we pray for those homes that are feeling far too quiet and people feeling far too alone. Pray that at a time where we can't charge in and put arms round, they would know very much through just friendship of phone calls and support, your presence through prayer. They would know they lack nothing, not least of all you. We cry out to you for the Gilby family, for Harriet's auntie dying in Uganda, now John's father, Clifford, dying from Corona this week, and now the family self-isolating with coronavirus themselves. we pray they would continue to do as Harriet writes, to trust you, to have confidence in you, and to know your grace. Similarly, Lord, we pray for Cecil as he mourns the loss of his mother, Ina, who died in the week. Father, she was elderly. She was in pain. And she spoke of just constantly crying out to you, constantly trusting to you. We thank you for her example, even as it hurt to walk, of her just gently and slowly trudging up the hill to church week by week to be with us, and latterly finding even that too difficult. And so we grieve with Cecil, and we anticipate the rejoicing we'll have with Ina, now free from pain, with her faith made sight. Lord, we pray for Jana and Sophia as they head back to Germany this coming week. We thank you so much for them being with us and the joy of having them in our fellowship. And Gustavo too, now in Bolivia, we pray for them as a family, for wisdom and comfort at this difficult time of separation. We pray that through your purposes, in ways that they might not see yet, you would provide for them as you promised to do, and have them back together as a family as soon as possible. And finally, Father, we rejoice with Tim and Charmaine as they announce their engagement. Thank you so much for their love for you, their love for each other. Thank you so much for the great joy of marriage, the gift it is. And be with them now in these very strange times, in all their planning and preparations, as they look forward to celebrating, of being married. But again, given it's a tricky time to know when that'll be possible, please just be with them. Strengthen them through this time of strange social isolation and distancing. Strengthen them, prepare them, and we look forward to rejoicing and celebrating with them. We ask all these things in Jesus' name, and we pray as Jesus taught us. And so we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Well, thanks for joining us, and tech permitting, we look forward to seeing you again. You'll see, hopefully, in the description below is a little video for especially for children to think about Palm Sunday in particular, quite a fun little thing that a church in Greenwich has pulled together. Do watch that. There's also some songs which you might like to listen to as you get your day underway. All being well, I will see you again Good Friday and next Sunday. Okay, bye for now.